You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Guidepost. We are here to talk about our newest campaign to address catch and release mortality issues on striped bass using the best available science provided to us by our friends at MassDMF. And I have Cody joining me today, Captain Cody Rubner, and he's going to tell you a little bit about it since this whole public-facing part was kind of his brainchild.
What's up, Tony? I'm super excited about this one. You know, when it comes down to striped bass, all the calls and meetings we've been on, you hear a lot of people, regardless of their polarized opinion on management, on data, they always say, well, things aren't going to change until people do X, Y, and Z, and there's accountability in it. You know, this is one of those campaigns where people are going to do X, Y, and Z voluntarily. It's their own decision to do so. And I think that reflects where this fishery is going and a little bit more personal accountability and trying to minimize our impact. So super excited to build the campaign off of the latest science. MassDMF's done a great job on building out on that old Deodati study that's, you know, decades old. So I'm really excited about this. The campaign is called the Local Singles Program. A little fun, little double entendre there, and some of y'all might get the joke. But what the whole goal is to utilize, we had a retail partner, Jenks, and the Saltwater Edge team come to the table. We had a manufacturer come to the table, Mike Hogan and the Hoagie Lures team, give us perspectives on that side and build a campaign that rewards people for making the decisions that best reflect the best available science. So how the campaign works is people can go into Saltwater Edge and you can turn in, take out of commission, quote unquote, your back hooks, your back treble hooks. And we're going to get into the science in a second. I know we're both looking at it right now, but we'll get into why the campaign is structured this way. But you can go in and turn in 10 of your back treble hooks, take them out of commission, out of the striper season for the rest of the season, and be rewarded in doing so. Every 10 hooks that's turned in counts as an entry, and you're going to be entered into some awesome raffles. We got some stuff that we'll announce later in the fall. We got a really cool art piece that we're in the works with that'll utilize all the treble hooks that are taken out of commission. And in doing so, there are also some retail incentives in the shop. So if you buy a Hoagie lure for the fall run while you're in there or summer fishing, Hogan's worked with Saltwater Edge team. They're going to put flags on, basically just like a bucktail. A teaser on a split ring that goes on the back of the hook, replaces your back hook. So that way you're still getting attention from the fish, adding a little extra flair, but there's no back hook. And there are also, you can buy inline singles. Jenks has a deal set up there. And then everyone, if you buy a set of flags as well and start to kit out your lures for the season with flags for the back hook instead of having a back hook, you also get some split ring pliers for free. And so there's a lot of little deals in there to go in to upgrade and refine your gear to best reflect the minimal impact on the fishery. And outside of that, I think it starts that conversation and starts to spread a little bit of that personal ownership. And there's an educational program, you know, based around it as well. So super excited to see where it all goes, see how many thousands and thousands of treble hooks get built up and built out of, or taken out of commission. But that's the basis of the program.
Super big thanks out to Mike Hogan from Hoagie Lures because he has designed a series of lures that are straight out of the box, compliant. We have no expectations, compliant with the best available science from MassDMF on how to make catch and release a little bit more friendly. We don't obviously expect everyone to flip a switch completely. Reorganize and redo their box, throw all the old lures away. So was the genesis of this local singles program. So people could go in and replace their trebles at Saltwater Edge. Hoagie was super great, with donating a bunch of the flags, the little bucktail with the Mylar strip on the back of it to replace that rear hook. And, you know, Cody, it probably makes a lot of sense for us to go over a little bit of the science so people understand why we're doing this. You know, the study, in all transparency, the MassDMF catch and release mortality study is not finished yet. They have, however, gotten data on, I believe, over 5,000 caught and released striped bass. That's number one. And number two, based on the current management track for striped bass, we have to take what we know and apply it as quickly as possible. Fundamentally, this information may change, you know, by half a percentage point, what we're about to go over, but it's not going to change a hell of a lot. And the last thing is, if anyone can get a hold of an original copy, you can find them online. The Diodati study. Diodati was a good scientist. This is not a criticism. As a matter of fact, this is support for his work. But if you go over that salt pond study that he did with stripers, the last sentence of the study says, do not use for management use. And can anyone guess what we have been using for management use since the 1990s? That is correct. The Diodati study. So a 3/4 or an 80% finished study that's incredibly more comprehensive is using, you know, better technology. Technology's gotten better in the last 40 years, you know, 30 years, go figure. We're going to use that. And we can't hold off on this. We're going to do it. And I'm sure some people will criticize us, but that's never stopped us from doing anything before, right, my man?
Yeah. And so let's put out like a couple little disclaimers here before we jump into the science. You kind of basically just hit the first one. Second one being, this is a voluntary program, right? So we're not chastising anyone who's, you know, you stop on your way home from work at one of your spots and you see some fish busting, all you got's a lure with two trebles on it. You know, you're not sinning. You're not the worst person on the planet. This is not an indictment of people using the industry standard. It's that this is a voluntary program. This is the data that we have right now. And we should start having these conversations if we want to continue to have this community ownership and accountability for the fishery, especially when you're specifically looking to release fish. Second thing is that this is striper specific, right? We're talking about striped bass, a very studied species, all of the research done on striped bass. And this is not a singles only program designed to blend across other species. I know we've seen some messages, some comments so far. This would be so great for this and this and my region and my species, but we're looking at striped bass and the science is with striped bass right now. And so having double trebles on for certain other species, whether they're going in the box or not, you know, that's its own case.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, Cody, if somebody is catching a, you know, going fishing and they got double trebles and they see this and they're going fishing for a redfish, I mean, common sense would dictate replace them with singles and the fish is going to be less physically hurt. So, I mean, by all means, be as conservation minded as you want, but this study's being done for striper.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I've done the same for like Jack Crevalle. I fished the giant plugs down here, the hoagies and the docks and all those, and massive plug, and they engulf the entire plug. And one of the things that's an absolute nightmare is that back hook when it comes to how deep. So I've made that decision with Jack Crevalle that other people might not, you know, prioritize compared to other species. So again, just calling out that detail. And the last is to say that this is also kind of an industry commentary and industry campaign as well, and recognizing that the industry standard is treble-treble on a lot of these hooks. So it's going to take manufacturers to step up to the table to make things more striped bass oriented, especially if they sell their products in high mass to the striped bass community. And so that all ties into the fact of trying to make these little incentive programs to make it easier to swap in to having a flag on the back. And so right as we're going to get into science right here. I know there's been a little bit of commentary about the nomenclature around the program. And so when we say local singles, there's kind of a double entendre. There's two things going on here. The first is that Tony's going to get into the science. The best option is running a singular hook. So you can run a flag off the back and off your front. You can either run a treble or a single, depending on, you know, the hook body, how you're fishing it, et cetera. So you kind of have that choice there. If you are going to run two hooks on your lure, the data shows that it would be better to be using inline singles versus the worst possible option, which is double treble. And so that's why on our gear choices page, we've got our little slogan, double trebles do damage. That is the worst possible option. So if you're going to run two hooks, single, probably better. Actually, not probably better. The data is showing definitely better than treble. But the whole goal here is to get down to a singular hook. Singular hook, whether that's treble or single as well. So why don't we jump into the numbers a little bit, Tony, and show what the data is showing and why we're using that for our strategy.
And just to kind of frame all of this, I'm going to go like real high level and then drill down a little bit. So predictably, and what the study is playing out is that, you know, bait, specifically dead bait being the worst, results in the most gut hooking. So that is something that you want to avoid if you're participating in catch and release. Okay. If you want to box a fish, fine. You know, we're not going to criticize you for how you're fishing, but once you've boxed that fish, it's really in the best interest of the fish to switch over to some type of artificial. The other thing that we just want to comment on is what the study is finding is circle hooks are not a silver bullet to help stripers and release. The way that stripers feed is just different than something like a billfish that a circle hook is really, really effective on. The way that they feed, specifically the smaller ones, it really is not super effective in not gut hooking fish. So if you're going to fish with bait, use a circle hook because that's the rule. It's not worse than a J hook, but it's not a heck of a lot better. And then let's get into some lure type. Dead bait's worse than live bait. And let's get into some lure types and some hook types so we can kind of empower you with the science that we have already. Okay, so by lure type, so the science that we have now on lure type is really super interesting. They broke it down into fly, midwater lure, bottom lure, surface lure, and bait. And there were, when you do them, if for those who haven't done the Mass DMF survey, there's a series of questions. Was the fish hooked in the mouth, esophagus? You know, were there hooks in the fish's body? Was that how much blood was there, if there was damage? And, you know, how strong did the fish swim away? So there's a series of questions, and the scientists at Mass DMF can take those questions, quantify it, and give us a predicted mortality rate. And they're also putting telemetry tags in these fish. So obviously, if the fish pings and it doesn't ping again, or it pings and it's just kind of in one spot and doesn't move, it's dead. So they've got a pretty good idea if these fish are surviving release or not. So by lure type, you're looking at fly, midwater, bottom lure, surface lure, and then bait, okay? And that's bait overall, dead bait, live bait, menhaden, mackerel, eel. They really went granular and broke it down quite a bit. So bait, by lure type, bait is the most deadly. Next up, believe it or not, is surface lures. And I got to believe because that's the treble factor. Then when you get into bottom and midwater lures, they're like 3.6. I have an old man moment right here, folks. I got to put on my glasses to see the screen. 3.6 and 3.5% mortality. Now, I want y'all to think about that for a second. You know, we are getting 9% mortality applied to us, and the midwater and the bottom lure are 3.5 and 3.6 predicted mortality. You go down to fly, that is a flat 3%. Okay. And that has, I think that has to do with a couple of different things. One, generally fly rod caught fish were the smallest by size of all the fish that were recorded for the study. I think the average was, 22 or 23 inches, the average striper brought in. So you're minimizing fight time, all these other factors. So I have to take a moment for all the bait fishermen who criticize fly fishermen and, oh, we wear the fish out and they die. Well, no, we don't. Admittedly, we catch the smallest fish and our mortality rates are the lowest. So when you go to lure hook type, so this doesn't include, fly, midwater, topwater. It breaks it down like Cody was describing earlier as a single hook, a double treble, single, breaks it all out like that. And this is, really critically important because honestly, it's where we can make the difference. So when you look at treble, that predicted mortality rate based on physical damage and the fish potentially getting that rear treble in their throat is 8.1%. Now that is still lower than the predicted 9% across the board. If you go to single, or even single treble is 4.6% and single is 4.4%.
So to clarify there too, when you're saying single treble, you're saying a single inline hook.
Correct.
And a treble hook. So two Correct. Hooks on
the lure. So we gotta figure out a way to make more sense when we're talking, Cody. So of the double hook rigs, of lures that have two hooks, a treble's 8.1%, a single and a treble hook, two hook rig is 4.6. A single and a single hook, a lure that has two hooks, 4.4%. Now, when you get down to only one hook, this is kind of crazy. It really doesn't, it's not that much of a difference statistically. If it's one single hook or one treble hook, as a matter of fact, one treble hook is actually has a slightly lower predicted mortality. But in any event, you're down to 3.3% for one single hook and 2.8% for one treble hook. And Cody, I got to believe, because that's going to be like the belly hook on a plug with a flag on the end. And I don't know, maybe just the way they hit the plug, that treble doesn't do a hell of a lot of damage. But
what is nice about a treble on the front is, depending on the plug shape, the lure you're using it on, it's going to sit flush against the body, right? Compared to an inline single, which would have some sway, it'll be face down. And so there's probably that sort of dynamic as well. And so when you look at this being the local singles campaign, again, the end goal, the best possible option based off this science is a singular hook. And so whether you choose to use an inline single or a treble on the front might be just related to the presentation, which lure you're using in that specific scenario. Both of those are better than the industry standard. Well, I mean,
I'll go a step further, Cody. Managers have been floating around a whole lot of different ideas to lower catch and release mortality. And I will point out that I've been looking at the numbers coming in, and besides New York and New Jersey, effort is cratering everywhere else. The effort's never been lower in the Bay. And the reason why effort is, and yes, we know the NOAA FES, we're working directly with NOAA to fix that. but it, we got like, we're embedded in that process, but all we have now are the numbers that we have. So effort has never been lower in the Maryland portion of the Chesapeake Bay for striped bass ever. And that's directly related, you know, effort, well, how many fish are being caught? And then you just type in that 9% and then they say, oh, well, that's how many fish are killed. Well, if you switch to a treble or a single one hook, you are killing 2/3 less fish if you release everything. It's not an insignificant number. You know, to go from 9% to 3% is unbelievable. Is unbelievable. That means that if everyone switched and no one fished with bait, we could go, which is a pipe dream, but we could go from killing, you know, if it was 1 million fish, that means we would only kill 333,000 fish. Well, I mean, look, it ain't bad. That's like 10%, 3%, but I am not a mathematician, nor can I work Excel. But you are dramatically cutting this down, shockingly, by making this slight change. And if you don't want to make the change because you like the way your lure swims and you're worried about, you know, well, as you start switching out your lures, look to a manufacturer like Hoagie that is designing these with one hook on the belly and a flag on the back, and they swim correct out of the box. You don't have to worry about the action of your lure changing at all, anything like that. And these are decisions.
And I think Mike brought that up when he was on the podcast a handful of episodes ago, but I know he also brought that up to us in one of the planning calls as we were building up this campaign, which is that he's designing all these lures to function at maximum effectiveness just with a singular hook, like you're saying. And outside of that, he's also, with all of his shows and videos and stuff that he's producing online, really trying to be more intentional about only showing lures that are going to fit the bill for the best available science and the least impact on the fishery going forward as well. So there's two dynamics there that's awesome to see from manufacturers. Again, you recognize that treble is the industry standard across the board. So it's not like they're going to disappear tomorrow, but this is an ability to affect your own personal footprint tomorrow with data backing that this decision does really have impact at scale.
Hoagie is putting his money where his mouth is. He runs a business. This costs money for him to make these changes. It costs research and development dollars. He could have just kept doing what he was doing, but he didn't, you know, because he believes in better business through conservation. And what, Cody, I think what we constantly do and why our sponsors like us is because our sponsors all believe in conservation and they put their money where their mouth is. And, you know, our listeners should do the best that they can, you know, if they're as committed as we hope they are, to support these brands that support conservation. And this costs Mike money. This wasn't the easiest thing in the world for him to do, but he did it because it's the right thing to do. And I think that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we're going to keep this one short and sweet just to get everyone excited, get people involved. If you're anywhere near the saltwater edge and you want to participate in this program, slide on through whenever you got a day, swap out some hooks, go talk with the team. That staff is there to help you. And Hoagie has provided some resources and they've got some deals set up to make this easy on people to clean up your hardware and get ready for the fall run, the end of the summer. And you know, we have one retail location operating with this program right now. If we've already gotten some messages, oh my gosh, I live down here, I wish this was near us. If you know a local retailer, you work for a retailer, you own a retail location, this is something you're interested in, reach out to ASGA, send us a message on social media or you can email us or use the contact form on the website as well. But if you're interested in seeing this program expand, we're starting right now small with the goal of seeing how the community reacts and getting people involved and getting some hooks out of commission. But this is going to be an entire season long campaign. So if this is not something you got to pull off tomorrow, if you're busy and you can pull this off in August or September before you get in your final stretch in the fall run, that's still an important thing. We all have the opportunity to make little decisions to make a big impact. And this is one of those campaigns. So,
and if you're Cody, if you're a lure manufacturer and you listened to the last podcast or two podcasts ago, Hogan said he would open his books and show everyone his research, what the costs were, so you can make the best decision for your business. So reach out to us if you're a lure manufacturer and you want to make these changes along with Hogan, because I guess our idealistic view of this is it's just starting. You know, look, every time we do something like this, we end up upsetting somebody because they're like, I did that first, or why didn't you call me, or blah, 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 blah. Like, we're doing the best that we can, and we're trying really hard to build a big tent that everyone has a home under if they believe in conservation. So please, like, reach out. We would love to have as many people as possible on board. We'd love to get this out because this is a numbers game, and the more people that do it, the more impact. And if we start, so this started yesterday. Today's, you know, we'll probably get this published shortly here. Today's the 19th. This was launched yesterday at Jenkins Store at Saltwater Edge. So it's not like anyone's behind the eight ball. We got a ton of the season left. We'd love to get as many people as possible involved. Peter would love to get more shops involved. This is a numbers game, and this is about striped bass. It's not about patting ourselves on the back or anyone else. So the more people who do it, the better off striped bass are. And consider, like, yesterday was day one, and what we're trying to do is create a paradigm shift amongst all striped bass anglers to where you're empowered with the science to make the best decision. So maybe one day your grandkid can catch the 50 inch fish that was 28 inches when you released it many, many years before. And I think that's what we all may fight over some dumb stuff, but I should sure as hell hope that that's something that we can all agree on.
And the cool part, a little bright spot to end it on, is Jenk sent us a photo yesterday, and he's got a little fishbowl to get this started, and we're hoping we're going to graduate this thing to, like, you know, a giant dunk tank or something along the way. But he's got a fishbowl, and it's already got a handful, I don't know, a couple dozen trebles in there from a couple people who were ready to be on the front of this thing. So this was not Black Friday, like Tony said. This was not, you did not miss out to get in the door early. There's some fun little stickers that say, like, single and happy and local singles. We got some cool designs. You get a little package and a bundle when you fill out your card for participating in the shop. So we got hundreds and hundreds of those packages ready.
Yeah. And, you know, and Cody, they know we got the stickers. This is going over really well, which means shirts are on the way, which means hats are on the way. You know, we'll do it all just like we always do. But sometimes, you know, progress over perfection. We wanted to get this out as soon as possible, and we did that. Now we got all to do all the other stuff that we didn't have time to do because we wanted to get this out. So y'all get in touch with us if you want to participate. Whether you're a manufacturer, you own a shop, you know, you're just a striped bass fisherman who's passionate about conservation. Reach out to us. We'll help you out. We'll get you going down the right road. And hopefully we'll just watch this movement grow and grow and grow and grow until the paradigm shifts. And this is just how people fish for stripers, because it's going to make a difference.
Love it. More to come, guys, on this. This is going through the end of the fall. So we'll
catch
you on the next episode.